Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. And shout out to our super producer, Max Addenda Williams.
Boom selector.
This is, speaking of selector, these are some selects for us. You're Noel, I am Ben.
Oh, yeah.
We are doing something different. It's our first quote-unquote clip show, a Matryoshka doll of segues.
Yeah, we're kind of like... We're like DJs on the BBC, you know, like a playlist or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is funny because backstage, just a brief explanation, Max, Noel, and I talked about the different things that get left out of episodes. Because you know how it is when you're deep in research, you're a sponge, you gather all this stuff, and sometimes it doesn't make it in because of time or because it's an interesting fact that may not fit the story. So we're doing something kind of like, as Max pointed out, kind of like Morty's mind blowers from the show Rick and Morty, or interdimensional cable, now that I think about it.
Well, speaking of the kind of stuff you see in that Rick and Morty episode, Ben, I love the idea of a sponge gathering things. I'm just picturing a sort of anthropomorphic sponge with weird long arms, yeah, just kind of gathering things up in baskets.
Love it. Yes.
That's what we are.
That's what we are doing. That's who we are today. We have a lot of tangents and trivia, and we just wanted to explore some of these interesting ones that we couldn't let go of. They didn't make it in the show.
Also,
but
do
we
want
had
to explore that. We have a fourth person here.
We do. We have our special guest, Alex Cirka. Alex, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Nice, on air.
Yeah, it's like we're being observed, you know.
We've got the weakest one will go.
We've got the observation windows on the outside, mm-hmm, here. People looky-loos, and then we got these looky-loos over here.
We've got the cameras. We've got a big television screen.
What a time.
We should just put someone on the screen, just like a still image, very awkwardly stare at
it. Just some like random person.
I would go Christopher.
I think it's live. They're just like nodding their head if they like it, or
the most boring cam feed of all time,
just
for sure.
Put on C-SPAN.
Why not?
Put on the crazy compilation clips of C-SPAN. Anyway, speaking of clips, Noel, maybe we open with this one. A while back, we looked at nuclear test sites. We looked at Broken Arrows. Very interesting and surprisingly terrifying. Well, it's not surprising. It's regular terrifying. Losing nukes is crazy. We wanted to explore nuclear test sites. We didn't get a chance to do this in the episode. Folks, it turns out there are some nuclear test sites you can visit today.
Cool. Bring your own Geiger counter. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they even issue them. I love the sound those things make. Those little click, click, click sounds.
The clickety-clackety.
I feel bad. I haven't seen Oppenheimer yet. I did see the Barbie movie, though, and it was delightful. But yeah, Trinity, of course, back where it all began. In Socorro, New Mexico, is obviously a very important location in the film, Oppenheimer, yes, about the creation of the atomic bomb on July 16th, 1945, in New Mexico, deep, deep New Mexico. The age of atom was birthed.
Mm-hmm. And this is weird. Okay, there are some caveats with exploring this test site. The U.S. military detonated a 13-pound plutonium contraption. It just annihilated things. It was almost, it was like biblical. A 600-foot-wide fireball, sand is turning into glass, windows 120 miles away, they're just popping.
Jesus.
And people didn't know about the test. They were like, ah, I shouldn't have gone cheap on the windows.
Exactly. Is this, you mentioned it as a contraption. Was this the one that was referred to as the gadget?
Yes. Yeah, that was...
Go-go gadget apocalypse, am I right?
They didn't have a lot of time to work on the name. They were focused on other stuff. But
the thingy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whatchamacallit, the doodad. Here's the deal. And I have a good friend who lives in Atlanta, our pal Steve Dixie. He has visited this site, and he had to plan ahead because, here's the big caveat, the site of the Trinity detonation is open to the public, but only one day out of the year.
Really?
The first Saturday of April.
That's wild.
And apparently it's worth the trip.
Okay, what happens the rest of the Saturdays and other days?
I don't know, you know.
It's like blocked off? Are there like, you know, shooters on towers to keep you away? Like, what are we talking here? Why all the... Hush, hush.
It's super exclusive, I guess. You know what? If what we have learned about the U.S. government is correct, it might just be a budget thing.
Maybe so, yeah.
Maybe they got, like, they made the budget for visitors, and they didn't remember to carry a digit, and so now they only have the one day. Let's pause one moment. There's a quick addendum here. It turns out that the Trinity site is actually open not just one day a year, but 2 days per year. So you can go on the first Saturday in April or the third Saturday in October, which is coming up soon.
Well, another spot you can visit if you want to see some nuclear craters is the Marshall Islands, where you can visit some nuclear crater concrete domes. Mm-hmm. The U.S. has a long history that we've discussed multiple times of using remote island areas in mm-hmm. order to blow things up and to test weaponry, you know, because it's fine. It's out of the way. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to worry about the aftermath, right?
Sure. Yeah. You know what? It's so chill. We probably don't even have to ask the people who live there.
Yeah. They'll be fine. They'll be fine with it.
And if you want to learn more, check out Stuff They Want You Know's episode on nuclear testing in the Marshall Islands. The Marshall Islands were only one example. Islands and atolls in the South Pacific were used in like over 100 times mm-hmm. for nuclear tests. And there wasn't a real effort to clean this up until the 1970s.
Tale as old as time.
Mm-hmm.
It's always that lag. It's like we just talked about with Nader and like traffic safety.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people have been driving cars for practically 100 years before people thought maybe we should make sure people don't die
mm-hmm.
As a result of the things that we've let out into the world for money
yeah.
and or, you know, global supremacy.
Oh, yeah. Nuclear. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a weird story with that one, too, because this crater that we're talking about, the crater was created in a nuclear test codenamed Cactus. And I feel like that's just very bad security, because if people are spying on you, right, they're going to ask, why are you talking about a cactus in the South Pacific?
Right. You think it would be like palm tree or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Perhaps raft.
Or maybe just the
mango.
Maybe the phrase, nothing sketchy.
Yeah. I like Operation Mango. I feel like there should be an Operation Mango.
I'm sure there is.
There probably is.
Yeah. Or is that what we just call it when we hang out with our pal Mangesh?
Uh-huh. Operation Mango.
I'm going to start saying that.
I love that. So 3 years later, and after expenditures of in the neighborhood of a quarter of $1 billion, they just built a dome over it.
Oh, nice.
A big giant concrete dome.
So it's kind of, it's the geopolitical version of throwing all your stuff in the closet when company comes over.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a little more planning and effort than that, I would argue, but essentially, you're not far off. We are talking about a foot and a half thick concrete dome, measuring around 100,000 square feet, built over the nuclear crater with signage, of course, trying to ward people off. But it is possible to get to there. You can actually land, I think, on Runnet Island.
Yeah.
And then head over to the old Cactus Dome.
The nuclear sarcophagus. It's also called, which I think is a more appropriate name than just Concrete Dome.
Also, to jump in, there are some great videos out there of people actually going to the Concrete Dome, like, you know, reporters and stuff. It's pretty terrifying, and it really makes you hate what the United States have done here.
So, question, I mean, were they building this, like, so people wouldn't fall in, or is there actually still, like, you know, radioactivity?
Oh, there is full-blown radioactivity. Okay,
that's what I thought.
And the concept of it is to keep all of that in there. They basically, because they blew up like Bikini Island and stuff like that. They took all that dirt and they dumped it into this like crater and they built concrete around it. And they did a really bad job, let's just say.
Yeah. And this was also part of something called Operation Ivy, or it's a consequence of that.
It's a great band.
Yeah, it is a great band. That's why we're bringing them up. And also, we forgot because we have company over. We've got to do the Max with the Facts sound cue.
Yeah, but she won't be able to hear it in real time.
Okay, Alex, you're just going to have to believe us. The sound cue is really good.
Hold on a second. I can get it in real time.
Did you assign it to a button? Like a real disc jockey?
He can't hear us. He had to take off his headphones.
Jeez Louise.
I can hear you. No, it's just going to take a second. I got to find it in Dropbox.
makes my heart sing.
That's our pal Matt Frederick. Alex, what do you think?
I mean, that was amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I don't know how to feel.
We can claim no credit for it. That's why we're able to really give it major props.
Noel, did you hear the one I made for Lauren?
No, I didn't.
Who's that guest hosting the show?
It's Lauren!
And she's on this podcast.
Hey, Lauren, sorry, Matt wasn't available. I'll send it to you later. We've played it on the show once before. Yeah. I think that's one too many times already.
Okay. Good.
It's a little more of a beat poet vibe.
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, I gave it my best shot.
Well, your efforts were much appreciated. And, you know, speaking of like covering stuff up that is bad, that people should not venture near. You know, I think I've mentioned before in the past, in a previous life, I covered some nuclear waste dumping sites, you know, that are very hilariously referred to as Superfund sites.
Right.
I originally thought that they were saying super fun sites, you know, but that's not what they are. They're not that much fun at all.
Very misleading name.
But in Augusta, where I did some work for public radio, and that was kind of my little area, there's a place called the Savannah River site that is actually a storage site for nuclear waste from nuclear weapons and for like decommissioned nuclear weapons. And they monitor that area by like tagging wildlife and like kind of catching and releasing them and then measuring them with Geiger counters. And a lot of these sites are literally just pits in the ground where they dumped a lot of this waste.
Yeah, it's unfortunately not surprising. And when we look at the South Pacific, when you look at places like Eniwetok and Bikini, both atolls, what we see is that they had to be evacuated. There were dozens and dozens and dozens of tests, nuclear tests, that absolutely rocked these islands. The consequences continue today, even though these atolls have been partially resettled. From 1977 to 1980, the U.S. had a $200 million nuclear cleanup and rehab program for Eniwetok in particular, and people had to live in exile for 33 years before they could move back to their land. And again, they didn't get any say-so on this nuclear testing.
And likely you know, if anything, symbolic compensation.
Certainly not adequate compensation. You know, again, for more details, check out our Stuff They Don't Want You Know episode on nuclear testing in the Marshall Islands. Let's travel to a couple of places before we come back home to the U.S. Let's go to the Soviet Union. Let's go to Kazakhstan. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Mint Mobile.
You know, Ben, I gotta say, one of the best parts about spring cleaning is that post-clean clarity you get where you're like, man, how have I been living like this? What's wrong with me?
You're right, Noel. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan.
It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month.
To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
That's mintmobile.com/ridiculous. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only.
Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply.
See Mint Mobile for details. You ever feel that way? You ever just wake up and you're like, let's go to Kazakhstan.
Just bop over to Kazakhstan. Yeah. So this, of course, is putting us in the shoes of the other major nuclear power during the Cold War, the Soviet Union. And this, a place called Semipalatinsk, was the Soviet Union's main test site. The Polygon, which is what it was referred to, which is located in the former Soviet Union, was a closed city near Semipalatinsk. I think I'm saying that right. I believe today they refer to it just as Semi, which I fully stand by. I wish I had said it that way from the start.
You know, you're probably not alone in that. Including the people who live there.
We are, of course, not native Russian speakers, so
right.
Forgive us of any transgressions in the pronunciation department.
Mm-hmm. What we need to know about this place is that between 1949 and 1989, over 40 years, there were more than 450 nuclear tests just in this place. 340 were underground. There were 116 explosions in the atmosphere. The equivalent of this, if you add it all up, this is like blowing up 2,500 Hiroshima bombs.
Jesus.
So there are a lot of craters in the area. It's like a lunar surface.
It's like the moon, man. Yeah. And, you know, another thing that the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, has a reputation for is not being too transparent with their communications to their citizenry. You know, as we know in the Chernobyl crisis, the nuclear meltdown, information was contained, you know, to an alarming degree, even when it became clear that there would be nuclear fallout that could affect surrounding areas. Same deal here.
Absolutely. Yeah, we know that the Soviet Union was aware of what it was doing, but it's the Cold War. So they were saying, they were making the greater good argument. And as a result of this greater good, 18,000 square kilometers, well, more than 18,000 square kilometers, are heavily contaminated. Over a million people have some serious health problems as a result of this. And it's kind of like that town where they just mine asbestos.
Yeah, it's called Asbest.
Right. People just live in the Polygon area in this former test site.
And as we've talked about, I think we talked about it with Jake Hanrahan on Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. A lot of the scientists that work, you know, that are members of this society, they are kind of under the thumb in many ways of the government in terms of like what they say is like allowable levels of this kind of contamination. And as we know, even here in the States, where scientists are arguably a little more free to speak their minds, arguably, it's still kind of hard to tie health issues specifically to something even as alarming as this level of contamination.
Right.
Causality and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm.
And just like the Ralph Nader consumer movement thing, it's a real David and Goliath situation. Yeah. There's a returning guest from Stuff They Don't Want You to Know that shows up in our next example. Also Soviet Union. This one is in Novaya Zemlya, Russia. It's the biggest bomb ever exploded. The Tsar Bomba.
That's a great name for a big bomb.
That's a great name for like a Davochka Beirut type
of
band.
I was about to say, yeah. Right? Or it could be like an LCD sound system type band, like a cool kind of dance punk type band. Mm-hmm. I'm down with that. Tsar Bomba. I'm putting that in my back pocket for my next disco project. But yeah, this is the BDE bomb. And just to quote a fabulous article from Atlas Obscura, because I just think they do such a good job at turning a phrase here. Who's the author, Ben?
There's not an author on this one.
That's right, because sometimes they just do to editorial. At first glance, the barren landscape of Novaya Zemlya, Russian for new land, might not seem like the sort of place where anything interesting has ever happened.
Wow.
But
jeez,
I know, right?
Atlas Obscura needs some coffee.
Hot take. But its remote location and small population meant that it was designated as a nuclear test site in 1954. And over the next 35 years, it was the location of 224 nuclear detonations, including the world's largest nuclear explosion, Tsar Bomba.
Bomba, bomba, bomba.
The bomba is also like a dance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
la, la, bomba.
Dropped by the Soviet Union in 1961 over Novaya Zemlya Island. Most of the island still remains a military base to this day, although cruise ships often frequent the southern part of the archipelago, which is a fun word to say. Archipelago, not cruise ship.
I love an archipelago, man. I like saying archipelago.
Ooh, see, I only do an arch, but I think maybe that's wrong, but that's just the way my mouth says it.
I like that word because it feels like you're juggling with your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So what you guys are saying is Ben is an architect while Noel, you're an arch villain.
That's right. Yeah. An arch nemesis.
Ooh, Jonathan's going to be mad. No, we don't have two nemeses in the budget.
I also have fallen arches, which is why I'm excluded from military service. And bone spurs.
Likely story.
And psoriasis.
Yeah. And malaise.
Yeah, totally. General malaise.
Let's not forget that one.
I wanted
birds. Well, who go to war with birds?
Oh, God. If that ever happens, I'm out.
I want to do, I do want to do a episode in the future on obscure historical maladies. I love reading things like that when they say, unfortunately, young Winifred fell to the brain fevers.
Yes, indeed. Speaking of bird wars, though, by the way, did we do something on the emu wars in Australia?
Yeah, yeah.
I think we did. Emus are terrifying, man. They have dinosaur claws. Mm-hmm. They could disembowel you like a raptor in 2.5. You'd be holding your guts like Dennis Nedry in the book version.
Cassowaries as well.
Those are the worst ones. Those are even worse.
I don't know why. I know they're more dangerous, but shoebills freak me out. Have you ever heard the sound they make?
I know that they're horrible, horrible nightmare faces and beaks.
They look like they're always scheming.
It's awful.
They're always like
really narrowed eyes. Yeah, they're rough, man. That's how they look.
Cool.
The cassowary, though, really does disembowel its prey.
It will 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is an
swoop. Zick.
It is an F around and foul out. F-O-W-L. So anyway, Atomic Survival Town. That's the name of a real place. We're going to end this one here.
Is this like
an
amusement park? Yeah. Is this, can I go here? And they issue you like a cool, like, you know, like a gas mask or like whatever, like a fallout suit.
Yeah. Yeah. Hazmat suit of some
sort. That sounds like fun. I want to go to Atomic Survival Town. It sounds like Ghost Town in the Sky or like one of those, like, you know, kind of frontier type, you know, attractions.
Yeah. This is probably one of the better known sites on our list. Going back to Atlas Obscura. In 1955, there were 14 different test explosions at Yucca Flat, and this was part of something called Operation Teacup, which...
Sounds so dainty.
Yeah.
Pinky up, you know?
I always want...
All decorum.
I always wanted the job of being the person who gets to pick those names. I feel
Operation Mango for me all day.
Yeah,
we had some good ones. We had Operation Cottage, Operation Land Crab. What was that, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. And so we should be in charge of naming more of these... Top secret government operations. Mm-hmm. We'll write the email later.
Operation F around and find out.
Mm-hmm. Or F around and foul out the cassowary deployment. So the most memorable parts of these tests were the reason it's called Atomic Survival Town is because they built a dummy town.
Cool. Sort of like when the Allies built the fake Paris.
Just so.
Yeah. Which is an episode that's sort of like, what is it? The Mandela effect? We're like, we swear we did this episode.
Or did we just hang out and talk about it?
I think we had a brief for this and we, in our minds, totally did it. But we obviously didn't do it or it's been lost to time. And or our publishing apparatus.
Because we're saving it for our pal, Casey Pegram.
That's right, because he's our resident francophone.
Yes.
Francophile.
He very much is.
Francophiliac? No.
That makes it sound weird.
It does.
So, yeah, he is definitely our francophone friend. And for folks who have asked, I want to take a quick aside here. Casey is still very much a big part of the show. We are all friends. We hang out. Casey is just a very busy guy. He makes a lot of other shows, but he says hello, and we're going to have him on one day for the Paris episode that we can't remember recording.
But to get back to the topic at hand here, Atomic Survival Town in Nevada, a series of 14 nuclear test sites that were a part of Operation Teacup, as you said. The most memorable part of this operation was a purpose-built town with homes and other townly structures built at varying distances from the blast to just see. F around and find out. See how these structures would be affected. This, one could argue, is a thoughtful operation that does take the human collateral into account.
And that's even the creepiest part. You're right. It is a better plan than many of the other ones. It's also very Twilight Zone because they didn't just make fake buildings and a fake town. They populated it with fake people, realistic-looking mannequin families.
Dapperly dressed, no doubt.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was a an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's and cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody. Like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac, Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one, and that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino, and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it so. The Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I don't like being around mannequins.
Yeah, it's also like anytime there's a creepy basement or a creepy attic.
There's a mannequin.
There's always a mannequin with no arms.
Just hanging out. Where do they come from?
I feel like they're judging.
I'm thinking of the ones with no head and no arms, you know, like a dressmaker's dummy or whatever. Yeah. But I think it's just every horror house had someone that was trying needlework, you know, or making their own clothes and then just kind of gave up. And then the thing goes in the attic.
I mean, once it's such a sunk cost fallacy. Once you have a mannequin, what are you going to do? Throw it away?
Put it in your creepy attic.
Weird. Yeah, you put it in the weirdest room in your house. You guys know my grandfather, when he was alive, was a sculptor. And so he had mannequins. And they were in the part of the garage that people didn't go to.
That way, when the Scooby-Doo gang comes a-calling, you give them a good fright.
Yeah, sure. And then give them, a consolation mannequin. Mm-hmm. He didn't solve the murder, but here's a body.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this survival
make a bustier.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, again, the needlework. This survival town, also sometimes called Doomtown.
Love that.
Had these folks.
Also a good band name.
Yeah, yeah. Also had these folks going about their day-to-day routines. You know, and they did some research. They said, where would these people be at this point, at this time of day when this bomb detonates? What happens when a bomb explodes over a real town? So this was definitely worthwhile research. But folks, look up the pictures. If you can't tell how creeped out we are by talking about this, just go ahead and ruin your afternoon.
Total Spooksville.
100% spooky town. And you know what happened just now, Noel, Max, Alex, hey, thanks for hanging out. I think we're going to have to make this just the Nuclear Bits episode. I know it's a little bit short, but we have this long list of lost bits.
Yeah.
We might have to go like category by category.
This one is themed. It felt that way. It felt right and natural. Also, we got a holiday coming up. So, you know, we're just give us a break, y'all. Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on. We're people too.
It's Labor Day.
Podcasters are people too.
It's Labor Day and you can celebrate it even if you're not currently pregnant.
Is that right? Is that the one where you're not supposed to wear white after it, or you do wear white after it?
It's one of those.
You don't.
You don't.
Why? I don't understand.
And that's a tale for another day,
I guess, I think. So.
Yeah. We should also get into the history of the Labor Day movement, right? Since we just did a Nader episode representing consumers. And I think when we do that one, we can maybe we can save the wearing white reveal.
No. Can I just do it now?
Yeah.
I've already got it up on the screen.
Sure.
It's just, I think we should, this obviously shouldn't be a thing.
Okay.
If this is correct. It's the holiday originated in the 1880s, was the official end of the summer and the start of the fall. The quote unquote rule, you cannot wear white after Labor Day, spans back to the late 19th century and was reportedly invented by an elite group to use fashion to separate those with and without money.
Oh,
boo.
Great.
Not in the spirit of the labor movement. at all.
I like
wear white.
I yes. like the idea. Well, as a colorblind person, I'm kind of restricted to gray
tones.
Got my
white nails done.
You got your white. Oh, nice.
That's gonna last at least a couple weeks.
Fight the system. Also, whenever I think of wearing white after Labor Day, I am reminded of one very amazing film, Serial Mom. Do you guys remember Serial Mom?
Well, I know she murdered people based on them not having, you know,
white
manners.
She killed people. She killed someone for wearing white shoes after Labor Day.
That's right. Yeah, that's funny. And that's a John Waters movie. A lot of people don't realize that.
That tracks.
Yeah.
And it holds up. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in years. I just remember thinking it was probably, it felt like a more accessible John Waters movie, considering that some of his early stuff involves like eating poop and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, corpophagy. Yeah.
That's right. Is that the word? God, you're so good with these words, man.
Also, guys, to jump in here, because, you know, since we're, you know, just going to talk about nukes today, I got one more I wanted to throw in there. This is not on the sheet. This
Ooh,
is an extra secret.
A curveball.
We're going to talk about Bikini Atoll, which is also part of the Marshall Islands.
Right.
This is the one they basically blew up, but funny enough, this is the origin story for Godzilla.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, there were some people who were safely evacuated. I'm doing strong air quotes across the glass to y'all. I don't know if y'all see them. But they just saw this giant explosion. And then there was this conspiracy theory that the explosion and all, you know, all the dirt and everything rising up was a monster coming from the sea, which is where the creation myth of Godzilla came from. What all actuality, they just blew up an island in a country in the middle of the ocean. I think we talked about this many times.
The
United States just have this, you know, this weird kind of f***ed up kink of just going to the ocean and just blowing up these beautiful islands.
They called it manifest destiny.
And Godzilla was almost this personification of like retribution for trying to play God.
Sure.
You know, like it comes for your cities, you know, your modern, you know, meccas or whatever. And Godzilla doesn't care.
Let's do the origins of Godzilla too. That's poetic.
There's
so much symbolism.
If we're talking about that kind of stuff and that kind of genre, and I'm sure, Ben, I'm pretty positive you've seen this. There is a film by Bong Joon-ho called The Host.
Yes.
Very cool, modern kind of Godzilla. It's not a giant creature, which I like, which I think if you want a modern giant creature film, I still think Cloverfield, the original one, is quite good.
Yeah.
But The Host it doesn't even bother with the backstory too much. It just basically starts with a bunch of scientists messing with chemicals, and then there's a monster, and then that's the movie.
And it's
awesome.
Korean.
It's very much a character study, and all of these characters kind of end up being these archetypes. And there's like one who's like a Olympic archer, and of course some archery comes into play. But the CGI really holds up. There's the first kind of monster attack scene is like on a lakeside kind of,
it's
and
bracing.
It is really, really good.
Also, I was curious about this. I know I'm always proposing adventures and you guys aren't always into them.
What are you talking about, man?
Hot air balloons.
The clown. No, not
See?
Doing that.
All right.
Not doing that
We're
ever.
Talking.
I only,
talking big.
That was a bait. That wasn't fair. You know, I just don't. I've got a heights thing, man.
You can visit. Here's hoping.
Wait, is he talking about high air balloons again?
Yeah.
Ben, no, we did an entire episode about this. You don't get to know.
What is life if not to be lived?
I'll do it in VR.
To die. I want my life to be longer. Hot air balloons are just death traps.
So you're saying.
Especially because a mob might come and tear apart a hot air balloon.
Think of them as freedom traps.
Yeah. Or how about this?
Does you want to fly like a bird, man?
Are you devil's advocating me?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, how about this, guys? You don't have to go in the hot air balloon. You know I'm working on getting my pilot license for a real plane. No offense to hot air balloon nuts, balloonies. But we can, once the war ends, and we all hope the war ends.
Wait, there's a war?
We could travel to Chernobyl.
The war with Eurasia?
Okay. We've always been at war with East Asia.
Yeah,
I have a better idea, guys. Alex, what do you think of hot air balloons?
I can confirm I've been on one before.
Cool. You're the bravest one amongst us.
And I survived.
Yeah, good job. I would do, like, I also am not a huge fan of open air high roller coasters. They freak, like, the Goliath at Six Flags.
Yeah.
I go through these periods where I'll get over a fear and do it for a while, and then the fear returns, and then I'll no longer do it.
That's how my claustrophobia is. It waxes and wanes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Well, how is your, what would the word be? Radiophobia? Your fear of radiation. Chernobyl has some amazing wildlife. When the war in Ukraine ends, I think it would be really cool to go there.
Yeah, it's like become sort of this weird wildlife refuge.
Like
where,
the DMZ.
That's right. Remind me what Gorky Park is, Ben. There's a song by the Scorpions mm-hmm. called The Winds of Change. And there was an excellent podcast about how that was like theoretically was meant to be like it was like a sleeper kind of like government implant to like create this sense of like, you know, Russian kind of unity or something like
there's
that.
There's a park in Moscow.
Yeah. But
Gorky Park.
But the lyric is like something like down in Gorky Park. And it's, you know, the winds of change.
Ah, yes. So they're probably, there is funding from the FBI historically that goes into those sorts of hearts and minds war right. of entertainment. So it might be something like that.
They never prove it unequivocally, I believe, in sure. the podcast, sure, but sure. it is something that the lyric is, I follow the Moskva down to Gorky Park, listening to the wind of change, an August summer night, soldiers passing by, listening to the winds of change. It's weird because the Scorpions were a German band.
Okay.
And it's just, it's a really interesting podcast. You should check it out.
What year was that song?
This song came out in 1990.
Okay, that tracks for me. You know why? Because the Berlin Wall fell in 1989.
That's right. So there's an article in The Guardian, Winds of Change, Did the CIA Write the Cold War's Biggest Anthem?
Right.
Scorpion's Power Ballad was the sound of the Iron Curtain's fall, but a new podcast explores rumors that it was propaganda.
Nice. And we're going to call it a day there. We can't wait to explore more of the things we thought we lost. Congratulations, Max, Noel, Alex. It's our first clip show. Thank you guys for hanging out. Thanks our research associate, Max Williams. Noel, thank you to you. Thank you to the Quizster, our own Cold War nemesis, and Alex Williams, who composed our theme.
Yeah, this bang and bop that you're hearing right betwixt your very
paid
ears.
By the CIA.
Guys, question, mm-hmm. question for you. So if the biggest Russian nuke was called Tsar Bomba, what would Strickland's name be if he was a nuke?
Zarbalda.
Ouch. Oh, that's so mean.
I mean, isn't that what we were going for?
Said he doesn't all Chrome Dome and things like that.
Yeah, Zarbalda is a little more innocuous than Chrome Dome.
He was on that episode, wasn't he?
He was on that episode. Well, that one's for you, Strick. Hope you are well. I can't wait for you to join us again soon on air. Our pal Jonathan does have a lot of cool things he is cooking up, and maybe if we can have a bit of an amnesty on air, he'll tell us about them.
I'm sure we can do an armistice. We'll see you next time, folks. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Avalon Waterways. Ben, are you in major need of a vacation right now?
Noel, you're a mind reader. I am, and aren't we all?
We are. While cruising remains popular, there's something big happening in the industry, and that is, my friend, smaller ships.
True story. The intimate ships of Avalon Waterways can go where the big ships can only dream, through winding passageways of rolling vineyards and castled hills into the heart of timeless cities and storybook villages.
That sounds like a delight. See how Avalon's smaller ships promise greater discoveries, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.